started noticing that there were trends in stream flow, which was a paper a few years ago, and published that. But the puzzle came when we looked at precipitation data, and the precipitation data for the region broadly taken from those stations with the best long-term records were flat and not showing much trend. Kind of had us scratching our heads because I would imply that it's all evaporation, but we started looking at the evaporation side and didn't really there were anecdotes really that suggested that it wasn't evaporation. And so it was a matter of pinning down what are the hard facts that we can do to decide whether it was or was not evaporation. That was the first piece. Once we figured that out, then we had a pretty clear picture that high elevation areas were getting less precipitation than low elevation, or seeing a trend in that the low elevation was not seeing. And then it went on to trying to understand why that was the case.
And this was really also prompted by the fact that our stream flows in the Northern Rockies are lower and getting lower all the time.
Yeah, they have been getting lower since the 1950s. If you go back as far as the 1930s, they were low then and pretty comparable to now. Some of the recent past has actually been worse than the 30s. And as far as where it goes from here, you know, that kind of a trend 1950 to now is not something that you would extrapolate into the future to say that's what's going on right now. But we, you know, in trying to understand the processes, some of them are related to low, very slow-moving climate, you know, things like El Nino and Pacific Decadal Oscillation that are ocean temperature changes that can be slow. And some of them are connected to what we would expect from anthropogenic climate change. So those that are connected to anthropogenic climate change we would expect to continue, but some of the climate cycle-mediated ones we would not expect to, but we'd expect those to change with the climate cycles.
And what your study found is that there has been a slowdown of westerly winds that blow off the ocean, and that is affecting precipitation.
The winds coming off the ocean do a couple of things. One is that they carry the moisture off the ocean and up over the mountains, and the more that is sort of processed by the mountains with the lifting of the air over the mountains cools it. As the moist air off of the ocean is cooled, the precipitation condenses out first as fog and clouds, and eventually those coalesce and form rain. So the slowing winds just mean a lot less of that is being processed. And there are other sort of micrometeorology, you know, how the droplets form and things like that also change as the winds change.
And what this means in terms of precipitation that we depend upon is that we're experiencing not only earlier snow melt, but also actually less snow to melt.
Right. Yeah. So that we're really seeing both processes. In the warmer regions of the Northwest, we're certainly seeing a lot of effect of increasing temperatures in terms of how much snow accumulates and how fast it melts. But as we move towards the colder parts, the fact that we're just plain getting less precipitation means that we get less snow and means that it appears to melt earlier because there's just less to melt.
And you have no doubt that, at least in part, our warming climate is the reason for this slowdown in the winds.
Yes, in part. And we're certainly getting some advanced preview, as it were, from the variations caused by climate cycles.
And, of course, the impact of this for our region is dramatic. And we mentioned lower stream flows. It also means with less precipitation, we're going to have a longer fire season. And we're certainly seeing that all play out.
Right. And the effects that we've seen historically with the decline in precipitation that we've seen since the 50s may be a bit different than what we can expect in the future. Warming temperatures also, the air can hold more moisture. And if you look at the climate models for the future, the fact that the air can hold more moisture has generally been suggesting that the Northwest is getting more precipitation. And now we have this new factor that the winds are slowing down tying into that, and the more research really is needed on how those two interact.
To know whether this is going to be a long-term trend.
Right. To know how far down it might go or how far up. Certainly there have been projections suggesting more rain, but maybe adding knowledge of this process will dampen those outlooks or not dampen, but dry in a sense.
And in terms of what the study means for how we should react to this information, you suggest a couple of actions that maybe should be taken in light of this. For example, thinking about storing more water behind dams for a longer period of time.
Well, the question of storage has already been brought up when we thought that the only impact of climate change on Northwest was an earlier melting of the snowpack, that there would be the same amount of water. But if the earlier melting is really tied to there being less water, having additional downstream storage in reservoirs wouldn't help us that much. So that's a very important aspect of looking at this distinction in how we get to earlier. Because if it really is just melting snow earlier and there's no change in precipitation, then additional storage may help. If not, then we'd really be needing to look at things like water conservation activities.
You also have stated that certainly more data is needed, that this is very preliminary in terms of what the actual effect is going to be and what the long-term outlook is.
Yes. I think one of the interesting things is how long this particular aspect of our climate since the 1950s has eluded us, and yet the changes are quite large. If you're looking at that sort of dry year pattern, some of the changes have been on the order of a 50% decline. Big number in my book, anyway. The fact that we don't have that much good meteorological information in the mountains is important. And there have certainly been systems added, the Snowtell system in particular, that are helping us now. And continued support for those is important.
And those are the systems that measure snowpack.
Right. So you hear every year now, or many months through the winter, of we've received the snowpack is at X percent, and some of that's tied to what's observed at Snowtell stations and some from the snow courses.
Many scientists I speak with, Mr. Luce, who are doing the kind of studies you are about the impacts of climate change, have a sense of urgency about that. Do you share that sense of urgency that we need to get this information as quickly as we can because we need to be adapting as quickly as we can? But some of this information doesn't lend itself to being gathered quickly, does it?
No. I think what's important to realize is that we're going to be learning as we go along. Setting the base now towards getting more information and realizing that information is the important thing that will help us adapt is a key piece of the strategy. And being flexible and adaptive to changes in information as they come out.
Well, it's important work, and I have been speaking with research hydrologist Charlie Luce. Mr. Luce is with the Rocky Mountain Research Station Aquatic Sciences Laboratory in Boise, Idaho, and is the co-author of a new article called Missing Mountain Water, a paper published recently in the journal Science. Mr. Luce, thanks so much for talking with us about this study. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much.